Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, your smart speaker. Download the podcast. We're on ESPN, too. See us everywhere, anywhere. Listen to us. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey. You know, Jay, I went to the restroom a minute ago and...
Did you wash your hands?
Of course, man. Please. Come on now.
I'm saying it for Max.
Do I look like Max to you?
Stop that. Now, I worked with someone who didn't wash
their hands.
Yes,
Key, and I know who that is.
Key, yes, that was the lob me. Key, and I'm glad you slammed it home. It was set up perfect for you.
No, I was just, Max, Jay, I was looking at myself in the mirror. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm really conceited, man. I'm a nice-looking, dark-skinned brother, man. I was checking myself out.
You're just realizing that now?
I was checking myself out, though, right? Because when I left New York, I was milk chocolate. Now in L.A., I'm dark chocolate. I was like, damn, three days in the sun.
Look at you.
And then there's white chocolate.
I was like, man, I'm dark.
Man.
I was like, that sun really tanned me a little bit here.
Yeah, and then there's white chocolate. I'm in a studio with a guy named Jay Williams, and there's also white chocolate in the studio, Jay. Both.
Yeah, both.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
No, that failed. I don't get that.
Fell flat.
Well, if you're talking about shades.
Yeah.
Man, you did get two layers deeper though.
I'm darker, right?
Yeah, you got two layers.
That's what
actually.
I thought. I was looking at myself and I was like, you know, I'm beautiful. I already know that. I'm a
Nubian.
Handsome looking
yeah.
brother.
Nubian brother. Yeah.
I'm all that, but it just looked like I'm from the island somewhere, you know?
Are you shocked by that? You're in a place where the sun is always shining. You're always in the sun. Guess what's going
to
happen?
But I know that, Max. But when I happen to wash my hands and look at myself in the mirror.
Oh, it dawned on me. That's when it dawned on me. Full realization. Like, yeah.
Damn, okay.
Did it go first? Like, was it first, wow, I'm dark? Or was it first, like, wow, I'm extremely good looking, then realize that you're dark?
No, it's all together.
Yeah.
It's all together.
Yeah,
so
I know the feeling. Not
all
the
together.
Dark part, but the. But
yeah. I don't age much.
I was like, wait, you know the feeling.
Yeah. New York in the winter, it's not good with the sun. You turn
it's fine. We're fine out here.
No, but not in terms of skin tone. You get pasty. Come on.
I'm one of them brothers. At the end of the day, I ain't gonna have to do nothing. I ain't getting no wrinkles. I'm just gonna be straight.
It's Botox.
You're already like 60 years old. You look great. I mean, you know, how old are you now?
He said, No.
There won't be no Botox. He won't be pushing my face back.
But you know they be doing that, though, Key, out there. Like, man, that dude out here is 65 years old. His face don't move. What is going on?
No, every time I move, everything on my face going to move. I'm going to go with it. When it drops, Max, it's just going to drop.
That's it.
I'm not, you know.
I think as you get older, you just get fatter, and then that smooths out the wrinkles. That's the main thing.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Not you, but most people. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. So, we all know, we talked about it already on this show, Frank Vogel's taking the fall for this mess on the Lakers this year. He probably deserves the least blame. He's going to get the most because Jeannie Buss ain't going nowhere. Palinka not going to fire himself. LeBron James is the whole shooting match, right? AD is the only other asset other than LeBron. You can't trade Westbrook, so who's going to take the fall if you need a fall guy? But AD was asked, guys, point blank, after the Lakers' last game of the season, can they still win with at least two, meaning LeBron and AD, of the big three? This is what he said.
I still think that, you know, us being on the floor together to build that chemistry, where two out of three can win basketball games. You know, it just didn't happen, which is unfortunate because all three of us, you know, want to win, and everyone on this team wants to win top to bottom. But it was just tough when, you know, you bring a group of guys in, especially the three guys that was kind of the core of this team and wasn't able to log enough minutes to be able to succeed how we wanted to.
I love what I'm hearing from AD over the last couple of months. Because when you start thinking about him, I want to see AD mad, Key. I want to see him pissed off all the time. Because the reality is we've talked about AD for the past several years as saying he's a top five NBA player. And then the conversations transition to, well, he's a top five talent, which is like a huge slap in the face, right? Because in order to be a top five NBA player, you need to play. But when you're a top five talent, we're saying your potential. Now we're talking about your potential for a guy that we know is lethal and is that dude when he's on the court. So my thing is, I know what LeBron James brings to the table. He averaged 30 points. He was in the MVP conversation to a degree at 37 years old. The missing link is Anthony Davis when he's healthy. But when he's healthy, him and LeBron, that is still a core, even at LeBron being 38 years old, that you can win a championship around. It's about the pieces that you have around them that need to be complementary. But as far as those two, if AD can play angry and be healthy, yes. The question is if. We always know that.
What you think, Key?
I think they can still do it. There's no question about it. Look, they did it before, right? You look up the year that they won the championship, and you look at the roster makeup, and you look at this roster makeup, totally different. And they didn't need to blow it up the way that they did. As far as I was concerned, they could have added one other piece and rolled it right back out again, because a year ago, they was going to pound on Phoenix, and then guess what? Injuries started to come.
Yeah, they were. They were beating. They were better than Phoenix first game.
And so when you look at that, why blow things up? We had Kuz, we had Caruso, KCP. Maybe you add a piece or two here or there, but you didn't need to do this extreme blow up, restart all over again, and bring in, you know, some of the guys that we brought in. I understand you wanted to play with Carmelo, which Carmelo did what Carmelo could do for us. You wanted to play with Westbrook for whatever reasons you decided to go away from DeMar DeRozan in that situation, and you brought back Dwight Howard. And so when you start to look at it, they can, if they can get the other nine guys on the floor with them, the right pieces, those nine other guys, you got two big studs, man.
Yeah, there are a couple of things here, though, guys, whether or not they can win with the core of LeBron and AD. Number one is health, right? Like, before we get to anything else, let's not overcomplicate it.
Exactly.
AD played 40 games. LeBron played, what, 55, 54, 50, 54, I think? 56?
56.
96 games. There are 82 games in a season. Between them, they barely had over a full season, which means there is no big two. There's a big one. If your two superstars combined basically give you a full season of play, not much more, you don't really have two guys. That's the first thing, right? The second thing is AD top five talent. Can you still say that? Can you still – the league got better. Young, talented players came in. He was unquestionably the best big in the league. However you say he's a forward, not a center. He can score, and he's a rim protector, right? Like, and he's 7 feet tall, give or take.
Yeah, but you can't. Maxey's.
Is he still a top five talent, AD?
Yes.
Are you sure? I can't name five guys you would take ahead of AD talent wise.
Man, it's gonna be hard. You can find, if you really want to just nitpick and say, oh, I'll take this guy because I don't like the health issues with AD. But when he is healthy, he is one of the better players on the floor every time he's healthy.
I'm not talking about
healthy for missing 10 games and come back one game and he's healthy.
60-plus games a year.
Several games.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to have them out of him.
No doubt. I'm just saying, like, time was, it was AD above everyone. When they won in the bubble, AD was clearly better than Jokic.
Though. So the injury part of it is making people question AD.
But Jokic has gotten better since then. Embiid has gotten better since then. Giannis has gotten better since then. That's three right there. Probably better than AD, even if he's healthy.
No, Max, when he's healthy and on the floor. No, I wouldn't say that when he's healthy and on the floor.
I guess the problem is, Key, over the last 2 years, we haven't seen him healthy on the floor.
Right.
Like, you know, 2 years ago, my man played 36 games.
And then this year, 40 games.
This year, 40 games.
That's still not even a full season over 2 years.
So, and Key, you know, some people call him street clothes. I know we don't do that on the show, but Charles
not
Barkley
some
and guys.
People, Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley,
calls
well, Chris Canty does too, who is a diehard Lakers fan. And you start thinking about that is, you know, as we're projecting towards next year, can we realistically say after this season that, hey, AD's going to play 55 games, 60 games next year?
Or that LeBron will play 60
Would you
games?
Bet on that, Key? Would you bet on Anthony Davis playing 55 games?
I'm not betting on anything, Max.
Again, LeBron played under 60 games. And that the time was a LeBron team couldn't miss the playoffs. Now they can't even make the play-in because they don't always have LeBron. Forget about AD for a second. They're old. They're injury-prone. Speaking of teams missing the playoffs, can a team that has missed the playoffs every year since winning the Super Bowl 6 years ago, Make it.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Hey.
888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776. Which NFL team that missed the playoffs in 2021 will make it in 2022? You can also hit us up on the Twitter feed, at Key, Jay, and Max. So, the Broncos, guys, have not made the playoffs since they won the Super Bowl. Quiet is kept. I didn't even realize that. They didn't even make the playoffs since they won the Super Bowl in 2016. Key, can Russell Wilson change that? Can the Broncos, I know you're not picking them to do it, but can they make the playoffs in 2022?
They could make the playoffs, Max. I don't believe that they will. Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson is certainly a capable quarterback in this league. I just don't think when you start to look at everything, the division, the conference, and you look at the young receivers that they have, the Jerry Judy's, the Patricks, the Cortland Suttons. The defense is not the same defense that won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. The defense is okay, and I think Vic Fangio was there, so a lot of people put a lot of yeast on the defense. Their best offensive weapon is now in Seattle in Noah Fant, the tight end. So Russell Wilson has his work cut out for him, as well as the new head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, who's coming over from Green Bay. So we'll see. We'll see what they are.
I mean, new head coach Matt LaFleur took over first year as head coach, won 13 games, but he had Aaron Rodgers and was coming into a more kind of settled situation in terms of the talent on the team and how long they've been there. Stephen from Oregon.
That division is not the same
either. Not the same. No. Stephen from Oregon, who's going to make it this year coming up? Oh, no Stephen from Oregon. Him. Wilson in New Orleans. What's up, Wilson? What you got?
Good morning, guys. I got a question for Key this morning. Key, the new wide receiver with the big contract in Miami, Tyreek Hill, over under 5.5 games of frustration when Tua starts throwing the ball at his feet because the frustration is going to come, and he's playing in his hometown. So I want to know how long you think he's going to last until he balls over getting frustrated. And I know Jay's the betting man, so y'all got over under 5 games before he throws a sideline tantrum.
I would say if it's right at over, because I think it'll be about 6 games in, so I'm going to say over. But what will happen in this situation is the coaching staff will start to design easy plays for Tyreek Hill to touch the football. Just little screen, little things just to touch it. You're going to start seeing him touch the football early so they don't have those issues with him being frustrated.
Key, under. I'll go training camp. I can't wait for training camp. I just want to see it.
Yeah, I'm sleeping on Tua.
I'm not sleeping on Tua. I wonder, for me, I think Tua's progression from what he showed last year was incredible. I really do. I'm just curious to see how Tua starts to manage strong personalities when a head coach who I wonder how Mike McDaniel is going to help him do that.
Max?
That's my biggest question for this kid, because Tyreek Hill is coming in there saying, I'm the guy, I'm being paid as if I'm the guy, and yeah. I need to touch the damn ball.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've been traded, believe me. Yeah. And when I wasn't getting the rock, I was mad as hell. I don't want you thinking I can't play. Just because your quarterback can't be Max, though. Yo. Why do you think Tua is, like, good like that?
First of
tell
all,
me, please
I'll tell you why. Because, Key, when we were growing up, I still remember a world, and I know the world has changed, where quarterbacks stunk for the first couple years of their career. They didn't play as rookies. As rookies, as first-year starters, they weren't any good. Second year, you still your whole progression that you talk about, right? That comes from the old Parcellian way it used to be, but I still think I believe in that. So Tua, all right? He came off a catastrophic injury. He's never had a huge arm, but he's accurate. Accurate left-handed quarterback and a little small, came off a catastrophic injury, played not quite good enough, but you could see something his rookie year, made strides his second year. Here's his third year. But now for his career, he is 13-8 with 27 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, almost 2-1, and he's only played in 21 games. His completion percentage, 66 on his career, and it's rising fast. So
stop
like,
reading the stats, man.
Well, I just told you first the eyeball test. Now I just read the stats because they're a record of what actually took place, right? He's moving in the right direction. Now, if you want to tell me, Max, I put my eyes on him. He just don't have
Max,
it. He can't go over the top. I'll go with you on that.
Max, so here's what I would say. The Miami Dolphins don't believe in no damn Tua. They tried to go get, allegedly out there, they tried to go get Tom Brady. They tried to go get Deshaun Watson. The Carolina Panthers don't believe in Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. They tried to go get another quarterback.
Big difference.
Okay, no, it's not a big difference.
Wait,
that tells me that the team don't like you.
No, but Key.
If they keep trying to replace you.
If you try to replace Sam Darnold with another quarterback, that's one thing, right? Tua, they had a chance to go get the greatest quarterback who ever lived.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, hold on. And then the best quarterback in his prime to ever be traded in the middle of his prime. Like, if those two guys are available,
doesn't
Tua's
matter.
Not that. But that doesn't
matter.
Mean they don't like him. They
when
just like
you,
other guys
whenever,
better.
Whenever a team goes and gets somebody, it's because they don't believe in you. No matter how good that player is, that's because they don't like you.
Hold on, Max. Let's go to this.
Cleveland Browns went and got Deshaun because they didn't like Baker.
Where would you pick the Dolphins to finish in the division?
Fourth, Max. The answer is fourth.
The Dolphins will finish second or third in the division.
The answer is fourth.
Probably, yeah.
And if they had a better quarterback, I get your meaning.
That's
they
right.
Would.
So if you're in this, if you're
like
in this division,
first or second.
If you're in this division with the greatest quarterback, with the greatest coach of all time,
right,
and you're always trusting and have faith in his schemes schematically about the way he could break games down with the Bills, who have Josh Allen, who are playing at a very high level. Like, what is your ceiling?
Mac Jones better than Tua? He's taller. I guess I would take
him
because
like
he's bigger.
But it's him in the combination with Bill Belichick. I like exponentially more.
Okay.
Yes.
But
and the only reason why the Miami Dolphins got the leg up on the New England Patriots is because you had a guy in Brian Flores who knew everything there is to know about the New England Patriots and what they do. So he knew how to coach against that particular team on top of being a really good coach. Here it is now. We got McDaniel. I don't know anything about him as no coach. Hell, all we know is that he's a run game coordinator who was connected to the Shanahan family and went to every single staff that they've ever been on and been one of their assistant coaches. That's all I know.
Isaac in North Carolina. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Hey, guys. I appreciate y'all taking my call. Just a quick question for you. Yeah, say the AFC is so stacked. So do you have the Colts, who I think have an easier path to making the playoffs to beat the Titans for the division, or the Patriots making the playoffs? Thanks, guys.
I probably am going to say the Colts, because just like he said, an easier path when you look at the division. I mean, the Tennessee Titans, you know, Tennessee seemed like that they would be the favorites of that division. But if Matt Ryan could do anything in Indy, Jacksonville, we already know what that is. I mean, Houston's Houston as of right now. They're going to put up a good fight, but in the end, they're not going to be much. Tennessee is the X factor in the division, and if Matt can just get some protection and get another receiver, I think the Colts is right there.
You see, I need to see what happens with A.J. Brown first. Like, for as much as I know they're a run-dominant team with Derrick Henry, which is incredible to see him, but that's a big-time wide receiver target. Like, I wonder if he's not available, what does that mean to Ryan Tannehill? And what's your faith level in Ryan Tannehill?
Man, I think it's a great question, first of all, because Key, you've talked about it. Without Daboll now, we have to see what the Bills are. And now Mac Jones has to take a step forward and do what you talk about when you say, like, what I need to see in year one, you saw from Mac Jones. Now let me see the progression in year two. And so it's close. Like, who knows? Because the Colts probably have a better team in their own division. And their name may not be a wild card to go around. Patriots versus Colts, who's going to make the playoffs? That's even money to me. That's like, I don't know. We got to see how that plays out. I don't. My guess would be, I guess I'd bet on Bill Belichick. So I maybe just, I give him a hair's advantage maybe because, you know, he's the GOAT and all that. T in Alabama. You're on with Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas?
What up, baby?
What's up, sweet G?
Hey. First things first, man, I got to say, man, y'all guys got great chemistry, man. And I mean, there's no disrespect, but y'all kind of like the Three Stooges with Curly, man. Y'all just play off each other marvelously, man. I love y'all chemistry, man. Hey, but I got Cleveland, man, because I say Deshaun, I think that defense last year underachieved. So I think that knowing they got the quarterback, I just think them guys just going to play just above their heads this year.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of feel that way, too. I do. Having a backup, experienced backup like Jacoby Brissett. Again, Max and Jay, you got to understand when I say Jacoby Brissett is going to give him pretty much what Baker Mayfield gave him. I mean, who's to say he's not better than Baker Mayfield? Mm. Who's to say he's not? And sometimes these backup quarterbacks are backups, but then they are actually better than the starters. Could, you know, but they just don't get the opportunity. And Jacoby Brissett got a little bit of an opportunity in Indy, but he was following Andrew Luck, so they just had a short leash on him. Now he goes to Cleveland, and I'm assuming Deshaun's going to miss, you know, however many games, but he should be able to hold it together until Deshaun comes back. And I'm not worried about a year off from football. Not at all. That's the least of my worries.
If it's six games, maybe he could go 3-3, maybe something like that. But what if it's 10 games? You know what I mean?
Well, then if it's 10 games, it's a wrap.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know. We just don't know.
If it's 10 games, it might as well be the whole damn season.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless. As we approach the NBA Finals, J. Will tell us the top five teams that can contend for a championship and why a sixth team is one piece away from being in the conversation.
He might be the most skilled big with that size that the game has ever seen. You add his play with this team, it's over.
Jay's Round Ball Rankings.
The game is over.
That was just me foreshadowing Joel Embiid legs. I just want you to know that.
Tim Legler with us now.
I just want you to know that.
Jay is going to give us his Round Ball Rankings legs, and we want you to respond this early Monday morning. Go ahead, Jay. NBA title contenders.
Okay, Legs, work with
me
here.
What do you got?
We'll go from 5 to 1. Let's go with number 5. Here we go.
At 5.
Boston Celtics. I mean, if they get the Time Lord back defensively, he's doing two-a-days right now. I think this team is one of the best teams in the NBA. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, explosive combination. Really glad we didn't break them up, by the way. That's number 5. Moving on.
At 4.
They're the best team in the East with the best record, but I don't really believe in them, but I'm going to give them the 4 spot out of respect to Miami Heat. I don't think Jimmy Butler can be the best player on a championship team. I think he's more of a complimentary player. I love Tyler Hero. He's my 6th man of the year. I just still believe that this team kind of falls short from a guy wanting that big moment in a clutch situation. But off GP, I put him at number 4. Next up.
Number 3.
Oh, my team. I love it. Even without him. I mean, like, what, 21-2 without John Morant? I love the Memphis Grizzlies. I think defensively, yes, they're a young team. They beat the Golden State Warriors last year in a play-in situation. But I just love watching them play. And they bring a certain discipline and tenacity each and every possession defensively. I think John Morant is obviously a blockbuster talent. Next up.
Number 2.
Phoenix Suns, CP3, Devin Booker. That's enough said about the Suns. They are the team. They've been there the whole year. The best record in the NBA. And look, I think CP3 coming back, I think this is his best opportunity. It feels like we say that about a lot of years he plays in to win it, but I'll give it to him number 2 right now on my list.
Number 1.
Defending NBA champions, the Milwaukee Bucks. I still think at the end of the day, having Giannis, the best player in the world, I think they will be there. Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez coming back. I mean, and I love the culture around this team. They're just there. They're the most connected. Them and the Phoenix Suns are the most connected teams in the NBA, in my opinion. That's my list, 5-1. What do you think, Legs?
Solid. Don't hate it whatsoever. Don't hate it. In fact, I probably have 4 of the same 5. I would add a one different one, and okay. maybe flip the order a little bit.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go number five for me first. And I know this is going to be a bit of a reach, and they could jump quickly, actually. I'm going to include the Warriors in here.
I'm including
Golden State at five.
By the way, knock the Heat out and put Golden State in there.
I would probably knock the Celtics out.
Oh!
Instead of the Heat.
If Time Lord comes back?
I would keep the Heat. Listen, Boston's going to have their hands full early on.
Early.
Okay?
Yes.
So, I mean, there's no certainty they're going to make a deep run when you got to deal with that right off the bat. So,
but if they do, if they get by their first round matchup,
and then they get him back probably middle of the second round,
yeah.
It sounds like. Now it's a different conversation. And actually, if they play a tough first round against Brooklyn and they survive that, and then they get Williams back, man, that could be an impetus. Who knows, right? But I'm gonna go. With the Golden State Warriors, I think at five. I would put the Heat at four. I like that for all the reasons that you said. I think Jimmy Butler's got a lot of pressure on him. He can't have stretches of games where he's passive and he's more of a playmaker. They need him to be that raw scorer that every night is going out there 20 to 25. And you know you can pencil it in. Sometimes he gets passive for long stretches in games. And I don't know that they've got other guys I trust in those situations to carry them offensively. I completely agree with Memphis at number three. It's not a mirage what we've seen with this team. You watch them, you're so young, and you go, okay, are they really ready to take that kind of step? And all they do is continue to emphatically say yes with everything that they
Legs,
do.
If you're 21-2 down the stretch of a season without your best player, there's a good argument to be made that they're actually just the best team in basketball.
Right. And it's the stylistically, they share it, they defend, they can beat you from the three-point line, which is modern basketball, but they can also beat you with great individual offensive players. Now, we get down to the top two. Jay and I agree on who those two teams are. I would probably flip them, though. I just think Phoenix has been head and shoulders above every team in the league this year. They've been so good start to finish. They have, obviously, a chip on their shoulder because they've got unfinished business. Milwaukee does not. Milwaukee got it across the finish line a year ago. I think the Phoenix Suns have the greatest role definition of any team in the league. Guys stay in their lane. They do not do anything more than they're capable of. Elite defensive team. And I think, like I said, they are so hungry because of what they stood there and watched last year with the team celebrate against them in the finals. I just think when you're that good all year and you're that much better than the rest of the league, consistently start to finish, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt that you can get this thing done.
Those role players, by the way, you're right. And no one does more than they're capable of, Key. But all those role players are capable of more, and yet they still do just what you need them to do. That's a beautiful team to watch.
By the way, I am upset. I didn't get the guy with the deep voice with the numbers that you got.
Yeah.
Why didn't I get that?
Because your name's not on the show.
Oh, okay, I got
so,
you.
Yeah. So, Legs.
Fourth letter?
Maybe soon.
Number five.
Maybe out of
there you
number
go.
Four. Legs. Number three. Number two. Number one.
There we go.
So, Legs.
A little bit late, but I got it. That's okay.
Another one.
What's up,
Keith? Legs, the Sixers.
Oh, man.
The Sixers and that experiment that they're going through right now with James Harden, that's not going to crack the top five, huh?
Not going to crack the top five. And I hate to say this, man, but I think they're in serious trouble in the first round. James Harden has more pressure on him by a mile than any other player in the postseason. Because, look, he's had failings in the postseason before in big moments, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you look at what Philadelphia went through this year, what they just gave up, the number one overall pick in the draft, a guy that was a two-time All-Star. Now, listen, he had a lot of issues, and he came up small last year against Atlanta in the playoffs, but Ben Simmons still was the number one pick. Your franchise went through, you know, a period of time where they were a laughingstock to get guys like that. You gave them up to get James Harden. Daryl Morey went all in. He waited two-thirds of an NBA season without replacing an All-Star to get this specific player for this specific run, and I think they're in serious trouble because he has been so inconsistent, and he just looks like he's lost a little bit physically. Key, I'm actually worried they don't survive the first round against Toronto, who is so confident when they play the Philadelphia 76ers. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Toronto Raptors have the best record in the NBA over the last month.
Yes.
So they're playing great.
And Philly will not have Matisse Thybulle because he's not vaccinated.
Cannot go
so
across the border.
Yes, right. And play in Toronto. That's why I said when this trade went down at the beginning of the season, Legs, I said, look, Doc Rivers is in hot water here. because not only do you have to activate James Harden, but there are always questions around how he handled the Clippers situation when they were up 3-1, they lost that. Paul George and Kawhi being like, you're not our guy, not fighting for you, getting him out of L.A. And then when you add this to the equation, if you got Joel Embiid talking about, I don't understand strategy-wise, why are we doing this? If this is the way Doc Rivers is handling a lot of the media, kind of like, oh, you guys don't play, how'd you know? It just seems like the pressure is coming his direction while I watch Mike D'Antoni waiting in the wings.
Conspicuously absent from all this talk are the Brooklyn Nets, who were mopping the floor with the eventual champs last year in the playoffs without James Harden and then without Kyrie. KD still almost beat them. Where are we with the Nets, Legs?
This team is listen, they're so porous defensively that it's hard to wrap your head around a team that flat out cannot string together 5-6 stops at an important time. And why is that so critical in the playoffs? Because that's how you dig out of an 8-point deficit in the fourth quarter, right? And they're going to be in that situation. You've got to stop people to give yourself a chance. And also to be able to hold a lead in a playoff game. You've got to be able to stop people to maintain that. And look, obviously, with those two players coming out, right, these guys are flamethrowers. And they absolutely embrace pressure. Is anybody going to be absolutely shocked if the Brooklyn Nets ended up in the NBA Finals? I don't think so. So I'm not going to rule it out. But
I just
don't think on the season that they had and as all over the place as it's been, I'm not going to go ahead and just thrust them into the category because they've got to go prove it. Now, look, if they look great in the first round, right, they get through the play-in and then they look great against Boston, I might completely change my tune, but we have to see it first.
Ben Simmons playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. Change them defensively enough?
Oh, no question about it, because of what he can do guarding five different positions. And he also, the other thing he would do, even in that limited time, he creates pace for role players.
Open threes for more than anybody he creates for teammates.
Spoon feeds guys like Nick Claxton. I mean, that's what you need a guy like Ben Simmons for, but more importantly, obviously, is the other end. And then, hey, 15 minutes could be perfect because then you get him off the floor, like in the last five, if it's close, because you don't have to worry about him going to the line.
That's Tim Legler giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Thanks, Legs. Jay's Round Ball Rankings are brought to you by Dell for your small business needs. Call Dell Technologies Advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. A win that is being compared to some of the greatest wins of all time. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will and Max on ESPN Radio and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. From A to Z.
It is time for A to Z, as you just heard. Scottie Scheffler finished off a Tiger Woods-like start to his season with a three-shot win in the Masters for his first major championship. Scheffler's now won four times in his last six starts. Not as young as Tiger or McIlroy or whatever, right? When they first burst on the scene, but was he 25, Scheffler?
25.
But he's killing the game right now. Only Tiger has four times in a PGA Tour season, including a major and a WGC event. Woods has done it eight times. Speaking of Tiger, he finished this tournament a 13 over par, but had this reaction to being able to play in his first ever event since last year's devastating car accident. Listen.
Thankful, as I alluded to. I keep saying it, but I am. I really am. I truly am, just to get to this point and just to be able to play. And not only just to play, but I put up a good first round. You know, I got myself there. I don't quite have the endurance that I would like to have had, but, you know, as of a few weeks ago, I didn't know if I was even playing this event. So to go from that to here.
Well, I hear what he's saying, Jay. What's your biggest takeaway from the Masters?
That Tiger Woods, a five-time master champion, will never win another major again, in my opinion. I will bet on that. But I don't think I look at that as a failure. That him coming back this weekend was the success story within itself.
You heard him talk about stamina, though. What is his first time back off a major catastrophic accident?
Him making the cut and participating and finishing 42nd is success within itself. And I know his bar will never change. I know he will always strive to be the best. But just even after 15 months after a crazy injury, his back leg, seeing him hobble, seeing him on the course, like for me as an athlete, just him, his mere presence being on the course says what golf needs him to be.
Tiger Woods told Sky Sports.
Never counting him out.
Yeah, I'm with you, Keith. I think he's not done winning majors. Again.
That's not
I think
a bad
he's not
thing.
Done winning majors.
Guys, he's walking and playing golf. Yep. Just put that into perspective.
No doubt. A huge
it's
win
incredible.
Already. But I don't know, there might be more coming.
Okay.
Tiger told Sky Sports that he will play at the Open Championship at St. Andrews in July, but is not committed to the next two majors, the PGA Championship and U.S. Open. Has not committed. In NFL, meantime, free agent tight end Rob Gronkowski, you may have heard of him, continues to make it clear he hasn't decided whether or not he's going to play in 2022. Key, he'll do this just so, you know, he don't have to... training camp and all that stuff. I think he'll play. But if he does decide to play, he's only going to play for the Bucks. Gronk was also asked last week on Jimmy Kimmel Live about the Bucks helping to facilitate his collecting a bonus by making sure he was on the field to pass a certain catch threshold. Gronk said he's seen other teams facilitate that, but, and this is a quote, not with the Patriots, though. I mean, they'll probably pull you before you hit the bonus there. Almost immediately, Gronk started to kind of laugh, Key, and said, I shouldn't have said that. What do you think about his comments on the Patriots?
Well, he's probably correct. I could Bill Belichick and those guys, you know, they give you the incentives, but yet and still, sometimes they don't want guys to get them because it hurts their salary cap. But there's a lot of teams in the league that put your incentives in, and you think, oh, I got a clear chance to make them and hit them. But when you're doing that contract and you're doing that deal, you're not even thinking about the salary cap, how it affects the salary cap down the line. But there are teams. The Jets were a team that allowed you to get them. Bill Parcells allowed you to get your incentives. In Dallas, they allowed you to get them. So just depends on the team you're on.
Key, for the record, I'd just like to note that at the end of the statement, Gronk did say, well, there was a certain player on Tampa Bay that didn't get the benefit. Didn't, you know. He didn't say the player's name, but
is
we
he
all
still
knew
there?
Who he was talking about.
Is he still
about.
On Tampa?
Apparently not.
Yeah, apparently not. I you know, it's funny because I get that about the Patriots. It's not like, oh, they're just trying to cheat you out of money or something. In a hard cap league, if that bonus, if that incentive that you hit is going to affect the cap, this is a type of league where you got to get rid of players in order to sign your draft picks. This ain't no soft cap type situation.
That's what makes me so salty as a player. Did you watch Drew Holiday last night?
Yeah.
Drew Holiday checked into the Milwaukee Bucks game for all but 6 seconds to get a foul so he can get a check for over $250,000.
Soft cap. Yo, Keith, why, when you say Parcells, for example, was like, or the Cowboys, they're not worried about that, they just do that. Is that kind of a deal where, like you say, there's no real cap, they'll figure it out if it's important? Why let the, I mean, we all know we'd like to get everyone paid. Sure, you want to see a guy make money. But why wasn't Parcells more concerned about the cap when as it related to incentives, do you think?
I don't know, but it was it's more in the whole grand scheme of things within the Florida game. Uh-huh. They're not going to go out of their way to deliberately get you the touches to get your incentives. But within the flow of the game, they're going to make sure, okay, that you're touching the football, and now you got an opportunity to hit your marks, whatever those marks are. I mean, that's just the way that they've always done things as far as I'm concerned. And as far as Belichick in New England, you know, they manage it differently.
Well, he's the GM, too. Maybe that has something to do with it. He's not just the coach. He's the GM.
Well, no, Bill ran the whole thing, though, right?
That's true.
Mike Tannenbaum, next time we get Mike and we have a conversation with Mike about that, about the way you handle the incentives, because there's like likely to be earned, unlikely to be earned. I mean, it just depends on how it's structured within that contract.
You think the Bucs need Gronk to win the Super Bowl?
No, I don't. I think they need a tight end. O.J. Howard is now in Buffalo. You know, he got injured and whatnot. And so he's in Buffalo, signed there as a free agent. Gronk is sitting tight, chilling. So they do need a tight end. A tight end is a quarterback's favorite best friend, so to speak. And they got to certainly get a tight end that can play.
So my son Zane is one. He can't walk around the house without his binky. Loves his binky. Has to take it everywhere with him. Like, Gronk is Tom Brady's binky. Like, and that's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Like, that dude is your safety blanket.
Know what?
Like, he's giving you 1,400 yards in the last two seasons and 13 in total touchdowns. Like, come on. Like, just, it's okay to have a guy that is your go-to target.
See, I thought you meant safety blanket, like it just makes him feel better. The thing about Gronk we shouldn't sleep on, to me, it's not that Brady couldn't win the Super Bowl without him. Gronk makes it a lot easier to me because, put it this way, Bucks are in the Super Bowl. I guarantee you Gronk is catching a touchdown pass.
Yes.
Right? Like, that's 7 points. You got Gronk, you're going to – that's 7 points on the board because that dude's on the – I don't know if another tight end's going to do – I know for sure Gronk will catch a touchdown pass from Brady, right?
I can't believe I just compared Gronk to my son's binky, but you guys got the reference.
Yes. As long as not like he's an emotional support guy. He can play still.
Jay, you still look like you use a binky from time to time.
I cuddle with it at night when I get cozy.
Am I Jay's binky? Not after you just said that. That's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.